You may be seated. I want to start out by saying, how many people have fallen recently? Fallen. Physically fallen. More hands went up. At some point in your life, you're going to lose your balance. At some point, you're going to slip. Some point, you're going to fall. I don't know about you, but the first thing that I do if I slip and fall physically is I look around to see if anybody saw me. I don't care that I fail. I just care if anybody seen me fall. So the first thing I do is look around. And it's really awful when sometimes people fall and you don't check to see if they're okay first. But the first thing you do when people fall, y'all are cruel people. I didn't even say that. I remember years ago, we were on our way to youth group, and a buddy of mine tripped and fell on the sidewalk, and everybody was on the porch of the youth group director's house, and they're all watching us, and he tripped, and he fell completely forward, and he caught himself. And when he caught himself, he started doing push-ups. Like, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And he got up and went, shoo, like that was his workout. Some of us can't fall that gracefully. But at some point in your life, you are going to lose your balance. And I want to tell you, as a Christian, as a believer, there is going to be some times in your Christian walk that you also lose your balance. When you sign up as a believer, when you come to the altar, or wherever you repent, you enlist in a battle. And in that battle, there's going to be ups and there are going to be downs. The scripture tells us that a righteous man, a just man, falleth seven times. I want you to understand something about scripture. When it gives a number, it's not always meaning that exact number. And the reason I say that is because when Jesus was asking, they asked how many times she forgive her brother, Peter would say seven times. And Jesus said, no, I say rather 70 times seven. I don't think he wants us to set and talk and count the times that people transgress us in a day. It's like you're up to 489 one more time and you're in trouble. Like it's on. I don't think that the number of seven is completion. So he's saying that no matter how many times you fall, how many times you draw back, how many times you do that, he says he will get up again. You will rise again. I think the Christian life truly is falling and getting up until we get to heaven. I think it's going to repeat. I think no matter how old you get, sometimes you're still going to lose your balance. Sometimes, no matter how long you've been in this, you've been saved for years, there's still going to be times that you fall. But I want to talk to you about a few instances in Scripture. Man, I feel preachy today. I'm going to try to keep it at bay a little bit. But man, when I was going through this in my study, it got real preachy. When I read in the Scripture about a man named Moses, everybody knew the decree. Everybody knew the issue, that there was a decree from Pharaoh that those children had to be put to death. But his mother, Jochebed, decided that she wasn't going to obey the law of the land, wasn't going to do what they said that she ought to do, and she put Moses in an ark. Moses gets in the ark and she sends him down the river and he's going down. And as he's going by, somebody comes walking down to the river and it's none other than Pharaoh's daughter. The babe began to cry. He began to weep. And I don't think that was coincidence. I don't know if an angel pinched him. I don't know what happened in that ark. But I know strategic time, he began to cry, and it began to work on the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. She draws him out of that water, and he becomes the very prince of Egypt. Moses is in a good spot. He's protected. He's taught. He's fed. Moses is in a really good spot. But then there comes this moment that Moses sees an Egyptian and he slays a Hebrew, and something begins to rise up in Moses, and that thing that rises up in a lot of us, that anger begin to move out and move in him, and Moses slew an Egyptian. At that moment, Brother Eddie, that anger completely changed the course of his life. Moses flees Egypt, and we find him on the backside of a desert for 40 years. He's in God's anger management class. 40 years he's back on the backside of the wilderness, and he's taking care. He's a shepherd, and the prince of Egypt became a shepherd. But then there came this moment. This moment when Moses is walking along and he sees a bush. You see, God is looking for somebody in this room to make a comeback. I know you're in a place where you don't feel like God hears your prayers. And I know you may be in a place where you feel like you're not good enough to serve him. But I want to preach to somebody, I serve the God of a comeback. I serve a God that can take somebody who's removed and they're a little cold. I serve a God that can give you an experience that will bring you back from that place where you are right now. Oh, there's times in our lives that we are on fire for God. I heard a very interesting thing the other day. Brother Eddie, a preacher, said, if you don't have any fire in your sermon, throw your sermon in the fire. I also heard a preacher, I got to share this with you. It's a little side note, but I want to share this with you. This preacher took over this new church, and he preached to the congregation. He said, I invite you guys to give me feedback on my sermon. I don't really know this church very well. I don't know the people. I just want to know what you thought of the sermon so that I'll know how to preach to this culture. A man came up to him and he said, never mind. He said, what is it? He said, I was going to give you some feedback on your sermon, but never mind. I think it would really hurt your heart. He said, no, I'm open to it. I really want to know. He said, what is it? He said, number one, he said, you read the whole sermon. He said, number two, you read it in a very monotone, boring voice. He said, number three, it wasn't worth reading. Boy, sometimes you're on fire and not everybody else gets it. And sometimes you need to hear somebody tell you the truth and say, man, it's time to snap out of it. I believe the scripture, Darren does it over and over. He said, arise. Sometimes you got to shake yourself of the dust. You got to shake yourself of the weakness. You got to shake yourself. You got to make up your mind. I know I haven't worshiped in a while, but today I'm going to take back my worship. That comes through a burning bush experience. When you have an experience with God, sometimes you need to turn it all off and get alone with him. And it's a little awkward sometimes when you haven't prayed for a while. But it's time to pray again. Moses has this experience, Dustin, and he went from the wilderness to the leader of a million plus people in a matter of a day because he heard something from God. He got somewhere, Vicky, where he could hear the voice of God. And when he heard the voice of God, he came back to where God designed him to be in the first place. Somebody in this room, I don't know who you are, but I want you to walk. But you walked in one way, but I want you to walk out another. You walked in indifferent, but I want you to walk out with purpose. You walked in not sure, I want you to walk out certain. You walked in a little lackadaisical, but I want you to walk out with fervor in your heart, because God's calling his church to wake up. We know the story. We've heard it many times. The mule in the well. He gets down in the well and they don't know what to do. All night they hear him. The farmer says, I can't deal with this anymore. You know why the mule fell in the well? Because he didn't see that well. Huh. That's not part of the story, but I heard that one time, so I thought I'd throw it in there. The farmer said, I can't stand it anymore. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go bury him. So he began to throw shovels of dirt down in the well. Let me tell you what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to bury you. He wants to bury you in indifference. He wants to bury you in this thought that you can't make a difference. I'm here to tell you, one child of God praying to a living God can change not just the trajectory of their life. They can change the motivation. They can change the direction of more PC. I don't know if you noticed, but there's flags on the black screen. And when I think about that, our country needs help. Darren, I'm concerned. Not for me, but I'm concerned for my grandkids. Let me, can I get political for a minute since this is, can I get here for just a minute? When you see socialism being moved into our country and elected, you better start praying. Amen. You know why? Because that form of government is godless. The reason it's godless is this. We don't let God decide, we decide. It puts man in a place where he acts in the authority of God. Can you say amen? Our country needs help. We need to pray. And I'm so tired of Christian people just sitting around and talking about it. We got to start talking to him about it. The truth is, Shane, 65 million people in this country claim to be born again believers. 65 million. If we all united and begin to call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we could turn this nation around in just a few months. Help us do it, Lord. The problem is, I can't do much about it. But I tell you what we can do. We can begin in a little town called Crab Orchard and change the trajectory of southern West Virginia. I believe your worship matters. Your praise matters. Your prayer matters. Can't change the White House, but I can change this church house. If direction comes from the pulpit, let me give you some direction. It's time to pray again. And not just pray some haphazard prayer, but pray with purpose. Pray with fervor. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God isn't looking for now I lay me down to sleep. God is looking for somebody to say, I'm coming back to where you designed me to be, and I'm leaving those things behind. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. It starts right here, right now. If not now, when? If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? You know how many times people come and sit in these pews and they say, I'll pray next time. I'll get serious next week. I'll wait till this happens and then I'll do it. Today is the day of salvation. Listen close. You will never be more saved than you are right now. So, in the words of Rocky's little fella, what are we waiting for? What was his name? What? Mickey? In the words of Mickey, what are we waiting for, Rock? What are we waiting on? Oh, let me tell you what we're waiting on. Well, preacher, I've prayed, and God hasn't done it yet, and I've got a little tired of waiting. Let me tell you why we're paused. We're paused because sometimes we really try to muster up our faith and believe. God, I believe you're going to do it. And we wait and we pray and we fast and we seek, but we don't see results. And because we don't see results, we begin to cruise a little. We begin to back up a little. See, we try to do the Exodus ourselves. I truly believe that's what Moses was trying to do. I believe he was getting ready to try to start the Exodus on his own. But it's not by power, and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit. See, you got tired of waiting, and the whole time God's been moving. Let me tell you what faith does. When faith grabs hold of something, it doesn't let go until it sees the result. There may be storms, there may be clouds, there may be darkness, but faith knows that behind all of that, there's still a sun, and one day the sun is going to shine. It's a faith like Jacob that says, I will not let go until you bless me. I know it's coming. We need some resolve in the church again. Go ahead, you can clap your hands. He's good. Shake yourself. Get in a position where God can speak to you again. Get in a place where you can hear from God again. Ezekiel, one of the greatest comeback stories ever. He was called out into a valley of dry bones, and lo, they were very dry. This wasn't fresh dead, this was old dead. They were very dry, but he heard from God. And he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? I know I said Ezekiel, funny. I know, I messed it up. Hey, it better be heaven. And Ezekiel heard the voice of God. And he gets out in the middle of a valley of dry bones. This army is dead. But Ezekiel heard from God. There are situations in our lives that we grow weary from. Hey, can I confess? Confession's good for the soul. I've got situations in my life where I say, just forget it. I'm still going to love Jesus. I'm still going to worship. I'm still going to do my thing. But if it doesn't ever get figured out, you know what that is for me? That's a cop-out. I've made this statement before. I've been working since I was 14 years old. I've worked too hard to sit around and worry. It's time for me to enjoy my life. Yeah, I said 14. Some people are 24 and they're still not working. I had 10 years. Never mind. Leave it alone, preacher. That's Father's Day stuff. Can I do this? Some of you young guys are looking for a woman, but you're still living with your mama. Get out. If I hurt your heart, I'm sorry, because I don't have anybody in mind right now. But I know this, God put Adam in a garden before he ever gave him Eve. This is hard to pass up right here. It's really hard to pass up. He goes out and he hears the voice of God and he says, can these bones live again? He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, prophesy. Prophesy to the bones. And he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. God called me one time to preach on the side of the road in Rodale, West Virginia. And it was awkward. I started out preaching on the side of the road to nobody. But I'm going to tell you something. If I seen a lunatic standing on the side of the road preaching, I would pull over to see what he had to say. If I had time, if I wasn't late for work, or if I hadn't get home. Tracy was expecting me. There's a lot of variables, but more than likely, I would have pulled over. I felt awkward until they started pulling in. 13 cars at my first service on the side of the road. 13 cars. Y'all know my story. They were hanging out of the window smoking cigarettes. My church had a smoking section, people. And when I left, you know what they asked, Mona? When you coming back? I said, never, unless God makes me. Never. I'll never do this again. It's one thing to be on the side of the road preaching to nobody. It's another thing to be in a graveyard prophesying to bones that have been dead for a long time. But he heard from God. What a comeback. The army begins to arise. This bone came to that bone, sinew and flesh, and they rose again because somebody heard the voice of God and obeyed. Can you say amen? Rejoice not against me, Micah 7 and 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You may be in a situation where it seems dark, but I'm telling you, the God that you serve is the light unto you. And I know your enemy may be excited right now, but the enemy's a little nervous because you're sitting in this service and you're hearing a word from God saying, wake up, arise, stop sitting in the darkness, be what he designed you to be the church, be the army, be sons of God, reveal the plan of God, let's march again. Church, onward! Christian soldier. I don't want to have to go across the street and beat up neighbors. I want the Spirit to go across the street and save the neighbors. So, I'm sure y'all have seen that, right? Most people have seen that, right? How many people have seen that? How many people saw the preacher went across the street and beat the brakes off that kid? I don't need no commentary, Sam. Sam said he needed it. You know what Brad said? He said, I can see you doing that. You know what my wife said? I could see you doing that. Stop, Dustin. When we get the Spirit of God moving in this place, I don't want it just to affect this place, but I want it to run under the threshold. And I want it to go out into our communities and touch people that need to be touched. Because let me tell you what the Spirit can do. The Spirit can do in a matter of moments what we will never accomplish in a lifetime. I know the enemy is rejoicing, but the enemy's mouth is about to stop because the church is about to walk in light again. Let me prophesy with my eyes wide open. You are going to see a move of God in southern West Virginia very soon that you have never seen on the lights before. I'm telling you that by faith. I'm telling you that because there is an army that's about to arise and get up and be the army. It's got to start here. It's got to start here. I'm talking about a God that can make it so safe that you can go into sheets on the bottom of Harper Road. Amen. Amen. Revelation 2, 4 and 5. Come on, Aaron. Listen to these verses. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou, listen to these words. Man, if you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed a good one. This is the one, Dave, that showed more love than anyone can possibly show. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Listen to me very closely. There is nobody comparable to Jesus. Nobody can do you like Jesus can. Nobody can touch you like he can. Nobody can heal you like he can. Nobody did for you what he did. Nobody. Nobody. He said, because thou hast left thy first love. Well, preacher, I just don't love her anymore. Somebody asked me one time, they said, how do I know I'm married to the right one? I said, who's on your marriage certificate? I said, that's the one. Somehow Disney has made it like, oh, that's my, that there's this certain one. The society believes there's this certain one. Oh, this is my dream. This is the one. This is the one. This is the one. Let me tell you something about the one. They still got problems. Oh. If y'all didn't see that, Dustin said amen too loud and he got elbowed. We got this perception that, oh, once I find Mr. Right, hey, I beat up the young guys, let me beat up the young girls real fast, can I? I'm looking for Mr. Right. Good luck with that. He's so dreamy. He can bench 400 pounds. Who cares if he can't lift his hands to Jesus? Don't marry anybody that don't out-worship you. Don't marry anybody that don't out-worship you. Oh, I've met this boy. Ask my daughters. Every time they met a boy, you know what I'd say? Where does he go to church at? And if they stuttered or they paused, he ain't the one. He is not the one. You think because you were in love with Jesus, there's not going to be some work to do? Hey, listen, I think we should be more captivated with him than we are. I think that we should be more fervent than we are. But sometimes our flesh gets in our way, life gets in the way. But don't think he's not noticing. Don't think he's not watching the way you treat him. He said, you left your first love. Next verse. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art. What do we start out with saying? You're going to lose your balance sometimes. You're going to slip sometimes. Walking with God is not always an emotional ecstasy. It's not always going to be. Sometimes you're going to have to fight to pray. You know what? Sometimes you're going to have to make yourself pray. Listen to what he says. And repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. How much time do I got to be in this state? Not long. Not long. You want to know why? Because he bought you. He paid for you. And there's a work that needs to be done. He said, I'll come quickly. And will remove thy candlestick. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking. The one who doesn't love, nobody loves you like he loves you. He says, but I'll remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I'm going to go back to my Baptist roots. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. I don't care how nosy you are, don't look around. If you're sitting in this service today and something pricked your heart and said, I really do need to make a comeback. I'm not where he designed me to be right now. Would you slip your hand up? Would you slip your hand up? Thank you. 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 The only thing stopping you from getting to where he designed you to be is you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a light he wants you to shine. He's got a divine will and a purpose. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to do what you told me to do. Let's stand. I promise you this. God called me to preach. I was very young and God called me to preach. People have called me and asked me to come to preach. I didn't want to go. Multiple reasons. It's too far. Church was too dead. I didn't like their music. A lot of reasons. I was tired. How many times, Tracy, did we say, I don't want to go? I believe it was one of our kids asked us one time, how in the world did we wind up down here? Why are we going to this church? Why are we going down here? I know someone asked me this one time, can you not preach anywhere near an interstate? My flesh didn't want to do it. And man, we would get there. God would show up. People would get saved. People would get encouraged. We would leave differently than we went. So he said, remember and do the first works again. Love isn't a feeling, it's an action. The feeling will come following the action. Let me prove it to you. If you raise your hands right now and you just block everything and you worship him the way you know he ought to be worshiped, there will be a feeling that will follow that action. If you pray when you don't feel like praying, there will be a feeling. We're looking too much for the feeling and not the action. He said, do your works again. Repent. Change your mind. Do the work again. 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 If you raised your hand and you want us to pray with you, would you come up? Would you come up? The ministers will step out. We're going to pray with you. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer today, would you step out? Would you step out? If you're a visitor here today and you say, I don't really know y'all. Hey, we know each other by the Spirit. If he's calling you, would you step out? Would you step out? Would you step out and allow us to pray with you? Say, you know what? I'm not walking out of here the same way I walked in here. This is divine destiny. Right now, I'm making my comeback. I'm coming back to where he designed me to be. I'm walking out of that place of indifference and that place of separation. I'm walking out and I'm walking back to where he designed me to walk in. If that's you, would you let us pray? Would you let us pray?